All right. Scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, from 2 Kings. And this has been on my mind for a while. And then with all this stuff going on, it really came to the forefront of my mind. You'll find 2 Kings in your Bible in the Old Testament. This is the very Word of God, this book. Let's open it together. I love it. We are so blessed to have God's Word. We're going to be looking at 15 verses in 2 Kings chapter 6 that deal with vision. Eyesight and vision. First, I need a volunteer. I need someone who is gullible, who's available to come up here. Can I get a volunteer? Don't all rush the way. Yes, a gullible person, available man. Come on up. Now, we've never met before. That's what they always say. Why do they always say that? We have met before.
Yes.
Thanks for coming up. Good. I need you to stand over there. Okay, give me some space, man. You're getting all over me. Go over by the heater. I didn't know you when you were young, but did you play some sports?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play them well? Yeah.
Some of them, yeah.
Well, I'm going to check, you know. So we're going to play a little ball here, a little catch, all right? See how you're doing. He's pretty good. Come on. Look at that, huh? Put a little curve on it, a little bounce. This guy's good. Oh, I'm not that good. See? Not that good. All right, I have trouble clapping. I miss my hands every third one. Okay, so that's good. I see you wear glasses. That's good. But you didn't seem to have them on. You okay having a catch with glasses?
Probably.
Okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. I need you to put these on.
No,
glasses. You said you're good with them. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. A little catch here. Okay. Hey, you still got it. I don't. You still got it. You're ruining my demonstration. There you go. There you go. What happened?
Can't see,
huh? Oh, okay. Okay, give me my. Well, you can't even pick it up. All right, I'll take my glasses back. You don't get to keep them. It's not that kind of show. We got a consolation prize for you in the back. Okay. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, what's the point of all that? There is a point that it's about vision. If you aren't wearing the right glasses, your inability to see clearly will affect your judgment. If you aren't wearing the right glasses, your inability to see clearly will affect your judgment. When you see the world through the wrong glasses, your judgment is clouded and distorted, and you make wrong decisions because your vision is wrong. So you make wrong decisions. If you were to look at all the problems in your life, try me on this one. If you look at this problem, this mess you've got yourself into, whatever it is, you can look back, and it was caused by a wrong decision you made somewhere along the line. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have bought that. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Wrong decisions because of wrong vision. Today's scripture passage is all about vision. Seeing things as they really are. As they really are. Seeing things through the lens of God. And by the way, 1 and 2 Kings is awesome reading. It's awesome reading in the Bible. If you haven't read it lately, read it. Okay? It contrasts the lives of those who live for God and those who refuse to. Actually, it's like the Bible for dummies, man. It like tells you, here's this king. He was a bad king, by the way. Here's another king. He was actually a good king. Tells you right there, you don't have to do the hard mathematics. tells you what God thinks of this person. And then you see the way they lived and the way they reacted. It's awesome reading. And it's the history of the kings of Israel and Judah. It's great material in 1 and 2 Kings, okay? So the setting for our scripture is ancient Israel. And around 850 BC or so. So 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. So Elisha is the main prophet in Israel at this time. And Israel, the passage says, is at war with Aram. Now history shows us that it's a border war. It's not all-out war. Kind of like what you see in the Middle East now. Countries aren't, their full armies are not going at each other. They're shooting, we saw last week, they shoot a lot of missiles at each other, right? But it's not all-out war. And that's what's going on with Aram and Israel, right? So the king of Aram keeps plotting and making plans to capture the king of Israel. And he keeps failing. He keeps trying and he keeps failing. Why? Because Elisha keeps warning the king of Israel of each attempt. And how does he know each plan? How does Elisha know to warn? Well, it says he's the man of God. That's what the scripture says. He's the man of God's. In other words, he's God's man. And God speaks to him and through him. I love that thought because we think about, are you a man of God? Are you a woman of God? And that's what we aspire to become. But how about the other way? Are you God's man? Are you God's woman? Can he, when he has a job to do, can he go, who do I have available? I'll put it on their heart to do it, and it'll get done. Right? It's a good way to look at that. It's not both ways. It's not that we're a person of God, that we're in some club, but that we are God's person, that we're available to do the stuff. Otherwise, we're useless to him. Elisha is available. He's the man of God, and he speaks in the prophetic. God tells him what's going to happen, and he warns the king of Israel. And the king of Aram is enraged. Look at verse 11. Look what it says. He's suggesting there's a spy. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? They didn't have listening devices in those days. They didn't have electronic bugs. Someone's a spy, right? And they say, none of us, my lord. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. So what's he saying? He says, there's no secrets from God. There's no secrets from God. When you're doing something, you got to think about that for a minute. There are no secrets from God. When you do something good or nice, you don't have to brag or tell God about it. He already knows. Hey, Lord, the cashier gave me $5 extra when I was at Home Depot. But Lord, I went back in the store and I went to customer service, Lord, and I gave it back to them. They argued with me. They didn't want to take it back, Lord. And the Lord's like, I know. I know. He knows all this stuff already. The Lord knows all the great and righteous things we do. Terrific. Oh, and by the way, the Lord knows everything we say and do otherwise, not just the rare good things. He knows the 99.9%, not just the 1.1% that we call. Hey, Lord, you see what I did? I'm something else, right? He knows the 99.9 that we do that aren't so good. How does that scripture go? He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. And it's in 3 Kings chapter 4. Look it up. Look it up. I'm just reminding you and myself that there are no secrets from God. You think about surveillance cameras. We got cameras everywhere, everywhere. People have them in their homes, outside their homes, every business. Richmond Heights just passed an ordinance. Every business in Richmond Heights has to have cameras inside the business and on the outside, filming people coming in. They have to be a certain caliber and quality. They have to be available to the police, that the police can view them remotely. Why are they doing that? Because an awareness that you're being watched should make you behave better. That's their theory. They did this in their apartment houses, and they have less police calls there. An awareness that you're being watched should make you behave better. That's their theory. Truth is, God sees all the time. We're always being watched. We don't need to worry about, I hope I'm not being filmed. Uh-oh, I better slow down. There's photo cameras on that road. Slow down anyway. It's the law. How about that? Right? God sees all the time. And the knowledge of that should improve our behavior. I'm just saying. Verse 13. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. And the report came back. He is in Dothan. And he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. So the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad is his name, he figures Elisha keeps warning the king of Israel, I'll capture Elisha. Problem solved, right? And then I'll be able to capture Jehoram, the king. Kind of like taking out the early warning radar. In modern day wars, the first thing that an adversary does is take out the early warning systems, the radars. Recently, Israel made a pinpoint strike in the middle of Iran. People said, that's no big deal. Yeah, unless they took out the early warning radars right by their nuclear facilities, which is what they did. And it's just a message to say, next time, you won't even see us coming. You didn't see us this time. You really won't see us. So the king takes out, he's going to preempt this. So he surrounds the small city of Dothan. Watch what happens. Verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. So Elisha's servant is worried and afraid. Why? Because an army of soldiers, not just an army of soldiers, but they have horses and chariots. That's big trouble. Because you're cornered now. You can't even make a run for it. You're trapped in the city. Can't make a run for it because you can't outrun the chariots, right? They've got horses and chariots. They'll run you down and capture you. That's what Elisha's servant sees, and it's reality. It's absolute reality to a point. To a point. And Elisha, verse 16, he says this, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Really? Don't be afraid, he says. Why? There are more with us. Really? We're surrounded. Completely surrounded. Watch this. Mark this verse in your Bible. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That is a great verse to highlight in your Bible. He prayed, open his eyes that he may see. So we need to pray for people that God would open their eyes and see the spiritual reality. But in this case, the Lord does it. So the Lord, it was the Lord who opened the servant's eyes. Elisha didn't persuade him. Elisha didn't show him things in the Bible, in Scripture. The Lord opened his eyes. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord opened his eyes. And now he saw what? What had been there all along. The verse doesn't say, he opened his eyes and suddenly the Lord sent all this stuff. It's already there. The hills are full of horses and chariots. Well, the other guys had horses and chariots. Oh no, these are horses and chariots of fire. Of fire, and they're all around Elisha. They had been there all along. They'd been there all along. And why not? Why wouldn't they be there? What does your Bible say about that? Well, I heard you this morning. I heard you half-heartedly reading the call to worship. The angel of the Lord, Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. You think it's just a poem? You think it's just something that comes on a Hallmark card? It's reality. It's reality. Elisha is showing him this is true. This isn't just a happy thought. Scripture says so. And the passage shows us that it's not symbolic prose or poetry from the book of Psalms. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. The same protection given Elisha is offered to you today. This verse doesn't say up until the year 850. After that, you're on your own, right? This is true for you. This is true for your family. The same protection given Elisha is offered to you. If there's an if. I hate when there's ifs in the verses, don't you? If you fear him. What does that mean? Remember the fear of the Lord? Right? There's a qualification here. This is available to those who fear him, is what the psalmist said. Remember the fear of the Lord. What do we know about that? Well, same Bible says it's the beginning of wisdom. It's your starting point to know God. It is 101. God 101, fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. It means respect and honor for the Lord. It's the realization of his awesome power and your non-power, your weakness, and respect for his. If you have that, his protection is available to you. If you don't have that, by the way, the reverse is true. I love people. They call out to God, God's going to protect me. God doesn't recognize your email. It's going in God's spam filter. You can't just be expecting God to come through for you when you don't have a relationship with him. If you're a U.S. citizen in the U.S., you're protected by the U.S. military, last time I checked. By the way, if you're a U.S. citizen overseas, if you're in Albania, it's not a real country. It's from Dilbert. But if you're in Albania and you're a U.S. citizen, the U.S. military will come and protect you. Maybe. When they get around to it. Okay. But if you're an Albanian and you say, I'm protected by the U.S. military, no, you're not. No, you're not. It's the same with the kingdom of God. If you're firmly established in the kingdom of God, then the kingdom will protect you. Look at that verse. Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that they may see, so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Can you imagine that? I mean, that must have been incredible. Let me ask you something. How can two people look out and see two different things? The servant looks and goes, we're dead. We're doomed. Elijah looks out and goes, they're dead. They're doomed. What are you worried about? Are you kidding me? How can that? How's that possible? One guy sees big trouble. The other sees God's got this. It's vision. It's all about vision. Elisha's vision is clear. So he clearly understood his situation. His servant's vision was clouded. Kind of like poor Chris up here with my bifocal prescription dark sunglasses. He didn't have a chance. He did very well, by the way. Okay? But you make your judgments off because your vision is off. Remember, when you see the world through the wrong set of glasses, your judgment is clouded. You make wrong decisions because you're seeing the world through the wrong set of glasses. And you make wrong decisions. The correct lens to view life situations through is what? It's this book. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. That is what we view everything through. And we see clearly, even in the darkest times. God's Word is like NVGs. You know what NVG is? Night vision goggle. The military has night vision goggles, right? In the first Gulf War, our military clobbered Saddam Hussein's army. They thought this would be the typical years, you know, another Vietnam. It was like a couple weeks we pushed them out of Kuwait. You know what the main reason was? We could see at night and they couldn't. We had these night vision goggles. And we had adopted our aircraft and all our tanks, everything, because it's not as easy as it sounds, the technology. But that they could see even the lighting and all our machines had to be adopted to it. But we could see and the enemy could not. We had the ability to see clearly in the dark. And clear vision makes for good decisions in your life. Because it's a dark world. It's a dark world. Most people go through life stumbling from one problem to the next, one thing to the next, one after the other. They go through life like drunk drivers, just bouncing off poles and causing wrecks and causing carnage and causing problems. But if your life is viewed through the lens of Scripture, you make clear decisions. You can see it. You go, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. I'm not falling for that. I'm not walking into that again. Because you have the right glasses. Here's what the psalmist said, Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. He's saying this book, it's a flashlight. You go out in the dark, you imagine, I mean, I don't know if you go to any dark places, physically dark places. I do. I'm out in the yard, I'm looking for the ducks, I'm doing all this stuff. If I don't have my flashlight, forget it. I trip, my branches hit me in the head, all this stuff. The Word of God gives you vision in a dark world. Read it, learn it, and live it. My flashlight doesn't do me any good if I don't turn it on. I got my flashlight. I come in the house, you cut your head again, my wife says. This is how most of our conversations start out. Did you cut your head again? Yeah. Didn't you bring your flashlight? I did have my flashlight. You didn't ask if I turned it on. So I carry my Bible. I got a Bible at home. I just don't read it. I don't learn it. I don't live it. Doesn't do you any good. And remember, it's the Lord who opens eyes. It's the Lord who opens eyes. You have to pray for open eyes. As we commit ourselves to Him more and more, day by day, He gives us better eyesight. We get His eyes and His vision. We start to see things the way He sees it. Let me ask you something this morning. How's your vision lately? Are you seeing better spiritually? Are you seeing good and evil more clearly? Can you look at something and go, not in my house? How's your hearing? It comes with spiritual hearing. It's a package. You not only get vision care from the Lord, you get, He covers hearing too. It's great. The Lord's just got a total benefit package. You hear things and everybody else is going, that's cool. And you're like, no, it's not. Me and my house will serve the Lord. Not doing that here. Your house being your life. Are you seeing better spiritually? Are you seeing good and evil more clearly? Are you falling into temptation less because you can see the hook in the bait? Or you keep falling and falling for the same thing over and over and over? Or have you finally got, hey, I can put these on, I can light my light, and I'm not going to fall into the same trap again? Can you imagine if fish could see better? What would we do? We wouldn't do, right? These dumb fish take the bait all the time. Always biting on it. Looks good, bite it. Where'd Frank go? I saw him going up. He's not here anymore. One by one, right? That's our lives. That's our lives. Spiritual vision can let us see the traps and stop walking into, stop doing the same things over and over. Imagine if we could do that. It's the same with us. If we have that clear vision from the Lord, we'd walk into less traps that the enemy sets for us, because he's fishing for you. Read it, study it, and live it, God's word, and pray for open eyes. Read, study, and live it, God's word, and pray for open eyes. Back to Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. It's all about vision. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I'll lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. That's pretty cool. We've talked about that before. Elisha uses Jedi mind tricks on them, right? I'm sure he was wearing his bathrobe, and he was waving his arm, saying, this is not the road, these are not the men. Right? If you're a Star Wars guy or gal. You note that Elisha prays and God closes eyes. Second prayer. First prayer, Lord, open this guy's eyes so he can see. Now he says, hey, Lord, close these guys' eyes. Make them blind. Now they weren't blind that they're falling down, tripping, right? He didn't say kill them, by the way. He didn't say, Lord, kill these guys. Would you? He didn't say that. He said, blind them. Make them unaware of what's going on. So he prayed, and God answers with blindness. Not blindness, darkness, more like blindness, unawareness, illusion. And he leads them to Israel's fortified city, Samaria. And he brings all these guys, all the horses, all the chariots, right? And after they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Make them aware. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and they were, and there they were, inside Samaria. They were surrounding a city to trap Elisha and his servant. Now they're trapped inside Israel's city. The tables are turned. The capturers are captured. Elisha prays the third time, and they can see their predicament. What do you think happens? Spoiler alert. Verse 21, when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. So the man of God has mercy on them. Why? Because that's what the Bible says to do. He's everything is through what he's learned from the Word of God. The Word of God says what about mercy? It says, "Show mercy to the merciful. I will show mercy," says the Lord. How's that working out for you? You show mercy? Show mercy. God will show it to you. And by befriending them, treating them well, he doesn't just let them go. He gives them a feast. He gives them a party. That's amazing. They go back and tell the king of Aram, what do you think their report is? The God of this people is amazing. The God of this people is amazing. This guy, forget it. Leave these people alone. He really is God. And the king of Aram knows he can't win against God, so he stops fighting. God has brought peace. Because God brings peace. Well, a couple things. I love this story. A couple things about vision. My spiritual eyes are getting better all the time. They are. I'm seeing God's hand behind many things. And I'm seeing his plan, what he's doing, unfolding for me, my family, for the church, beyond. My spiritual vision grows stronger every day. Now, my physical vision, not so much. It's declining, okay? It gets worse as I get older. It used to be better when I was young. There was even a time, I wasn't born, I didn't come out of my mother's womb wearing glasses. Many people think there I was in the maternity ward with a mustache and glasses, like Groucho Marx. Not so, okay? I didn't wear glasses when I was young. And it's a funny thing about the physical and the spiritual. We're born with good physical eyesight, almost everybody. But we have terrible spiritual vision. Terrible. We're all born with defective spiritual vision. We're pretty much blind spiritually. We're spiritually blind as humans. Why? Because we're born with sin in our lives. And sin blinds us to the reality of life. And as we grow up and are introduced to God and his salvation through Jesus, we're offered new vision. It's part of the deal. We get this cool benefit package that includes a vision plan. Some people accept Jesus and they're given new eyes along with eternal life. It's that package. And many refuse it. And they stumble through life. From one pitfall to the next, from one trap that the enemy sets, and the enemy must just shake their head and say, "Man, this is too easy. This is too easy with this person. I know what button I can get pushed on that person to set them off. I know what I can wave in front of them, and they'll go for that hook every time. They can't resist it. It's too easy. Too easy." They're blind to the spiritual reality of the world. How about you? Where are you at? God offers you new glasses. When you look out, when problems come, what do you see? You see the problem or God's rescue? How's your vision in that realm? Do you see whatever comes as God's bigger than this? Don't know how he's going to do this one. Probably even Elisha didn't picture God was going to send fiery chariots around him, but he knew God's going to come through. It's all vision, whether we see the problem or God's rescue. Think about it. Pray about it. Let's pray. Lord, our prayers are for those who are blind spiritually. We pray you would open their eyes. We pray you would give them a vision of who they really are. Lord, we look in the mirror and we see ourselves different sometimes than reality, as how the world actually sees us, as we actually are. We pray, Lord, that you would give them a mirror of truth, and for people that don't know you, that have not surrendered their life to you, Lord, that you would give them a realistic view of how much in danger they are without you, and how much they need you. And we pray for those that have accepted you, that you would sharpen their eyesight, Lord, that you give them a new prescription in their glasses. Maybe they're wearing dark glasses in a bright in a dark world, and they need to change to bright, clear lenses, Lord, that you can let them see good and evil. Give them that gift, Lord. It's one of the gifts that you give of the Spirit, the discernment of good and evil spirits, so that we wouldn't fall into these pitfalls and these traps that we so easily walk into, Lord. We ask for vision, new vision from you, because you're so good, and so you're the Father of lights, the giver of all good lights, good gifts. All good things come from you. We bless you, Lord. Amen.